This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Football fans, I'm sure we all love an action-packed, high-scoring NFL game, but the latest no-brainer from DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, you'll be a winner once single points are scored. New customers who bet just $1 on any team to score can win $100 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps. Bet $1 on any team to score and win $100 in free bets. If they score, you score with promo code FANRUN in all caps this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older and Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
We kick off hour number two of the program. It's brought to you by the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Check them out online at tvacreditunion.com and become a member. Credible customer service. It's the official credit union of 3 and Out for good reason. They'll take great care of you. I use them for banking, personal banking, business banking, for your mortgage, HELOC, any of that stuff. They got you covered. Car loan, boat loan. They got you covered for all that as well. It's the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. TVAcreditunion.com for all the details. Got a great app, too, to make all the banking stuff easy. All right, Oklahoma Hot Board. I don't really pay attention to the order here so much. I guess
we can debate
the order of how we should stack them, because I just don't think this is even in order. It's a good list, though. It's a good list. All right. Up first, and this is a name you're going to hear on multiple hot boards, especially because he's still playing in a conference championship game. Dave Aranda, current Baylor head coach. Obviously, the previous defensive coordinator.
What board are you looking at, by the way? Just who's?
This is Sooner Scoop. It's Oklahoma's rival
site.
Okay. Aranda, of course, has a good season going with Baylor. They're playing Oklahoma State for the Big 12 title. He's a defensive guy, obviously lots of ties to LSU, and there's, you know, that seems like that could be a fit as well. This says why he would be a fit at Oklahoma. He's shown that he can rebuild a roster and a program his first couple years at Baylor. He's also a steadying type of force that must look for in a head coach. Aranda is a guy with SEC connections, which could be big for Oklahoma as it obviously makes that transition, and says he has spent plenty of time recruiting elite talents and doing so in Texas and farther points into the Southeast. Obviously, LSU, when he's there recruiting, get a lot of their players out of Texas, and Oklahoma has to do that as well. Why he doesn't fit. Aranda's only been a head coach for a few years and hasn't always been seen as a dynamic recruiter, though he has had some big wins. Can he be that guy and solidify Oklahoma quickly is the question. Yeah, this is Josh McCustian, Sooner Scoop, kind of his takes on these coaching candidates. I mean, do you want me to jump around with the order? Because the order is very strange.
You're
just
going
to go right
order.
Down
go
the
in
board.
Order.
All right, number two. Big surprise. Was shocked when I saw this one, but I guess it makes some sense. Shane Beamer, South Carolina.
Okay.
He was at Oklahoma 2018-2020.
Wish they would.
Beamer's a guy that brings energy and enthusiasm as a head coach. I feel like that's really all he has. He got lucky a couple times this year. He's also a big part. Isn't this the same thing they said about South? He's also a big part of Oklahoma's massive presence in the mid-Atlantic. Could he help settle the waters with Caleb Williams? Why he doesn't fit. Beamer has only been in Columbia for 1 year. Does he really want to leave now? Beyond that, he's only been a head coach for 1 year.
It'd be funny after everything he said about Columbia, South Carolina. He was just like, well.
Back to Norman. Only had a 500 record. It's not that impressive. But obviously Norman's a big step up in the world of expectations.
He's seen Lincoln Riley's office. It'd be hard to turn that down.
That's true. It is a great office. It's a great office.
I could live there in a pinch. Number three, this one makes more sense to me, and I think you'll be on everybody's board on in some way, shape, or fashion. Luke Fickell. Why he fits.
That could be interesting.
Program builder that Oklahoma will be hard-pressed to find a more likely fit with athletic director Joe Castellone's ideals. Fickell is a steady guy who actually has some similar feel to Oklahoma's current head coach, Bob Stoops. While he doesn't fit, Fickell has earned a reputation as a guy who doesn't want to be in the Southeastern Conference, and that would seem to be an automatic non-starter. But Oklahoma's structure might fit him a little better than some of the other SEC jobs that have come along. Number four, and people might not be as familiar with this guy, but he's going to be on a lot of boards. Marcus Freeman, Notre Dame's defensive coordinator. He's only 35 years old. He's been at Purdue and most recently Cincinnati as their defensive coordinator up until this year. This is only year at Notre Dame. Freeman is a young and energetic coach that fits some of Oklahoma's most successful hires through the years. He's got some experience at a big-time program and would have some more updated ideas on recruiting and how to navigate certain challenges. He doesn't have any SEC area expertise, so he'd have to learn to navigate an area that hasn't had to recruit very often, that he hasn't had to recruit very often. That said, the Bearcats were built on a lot of good evaluations in the Southeast, so he has some track record there.
I don't see that being a route they go, but if Fickell does leave Cincinnati, I see Cincinnati hiring Freeman back.
Yeah, that would make that'd be pretty easy and make a lot of sense. Next on the list, Josh Heupel, Tennessee head coach, age 43. Obviously was at Oklahoma's quarterbacks coach from 2006 to 2010, was the co-offensive coordinator slash quarterbacks coach from 2011 to 2014, and obviously the Central Florida head coach from 18 to 20. Why he fits. He's a Sooners legend that has coached the Sooners for a huge chunk of his coaching career. He's also developed a lot of SEC feel and familiarity after having spent his last five seasons in SEC country from Missouri to his current abode in Tennessee.
Abode.
Why he doesn't fit. Forget the reality that he has been in Knoxville for a year, but his ending in Norman was far from ideal,
yes.
And there are some who doubt whether that's a road he'd go back down. Then again, the chance to coach a school he once loved may hold more sway than some believe.
They kicked you while you were down, Josh. They sent you to the trash heap. Don't give them the satisfaction. You were only there 1 year, 2 years, 2 years?
At Oklahoma?
Yeah. As a player.
As a player? 2 years.
Yeah, 2 years.
Sorry.
One more year here.
Thought you meant
and you've
coach.
Already... No, he was there for a while.
It's 9 years.
Shut up. It's boring in Norman. He's lived it.
Oh, yeah. He knows it.
Well, I mean, it's a step up from South Dakota, but now that he's
can't
wet,
go back home again.
Now that he's wet as Knoxville whistle, why go anywhere else? We're just getting started, bud.
Next up, Dan Lanning, Georgia defensive coordinator. I guess he'll be popular after this year. He's 35.
I couldn't have even told you his name.
Yeah. Another young,
it's Kirby
energetic.
Smart's defense.
Yeah.
Nick Saban's defense.
Lanning has no head coaching experience. Not that much experience.
But that's what Oklahoma likes.
Up next, Jeff Lebby, Ole Miss offensive coordinator.
That one could be interesting.
He's only 37. He was a student assistant at Oklahoma from 2002 to 2006. He was the Baylor passing game coordinator 2015 to 16. He was at UCF, obviously with Josh Heupel, 2019. Lebby got his degree at Oklahoma, spent his formative years on the campus working with Josh Heupel and others. He has since spent time in both Texas as the Southeast. He developed some impressive recruiting framework. He also seems like a guy who would be enthusiastic about being Oklahoma's head coach. Who wouldn't?
Well, I'm having a good time again. Mike Leach might not be enthusiastic.
Why'd you take the Oklahoma job? Well, it was the best one available.
Most money offered.
Lebby has no head coaching experience and also was on the staff at Baylor during the Art Briles era. It'd be interesting if Castellone and company would be willing to overlook that. Up next, Jay Norvell, Nevada head coach. previously at Nebraska, Oklahoma, and Arizona State. Why he's on the list? Because he's friends with Bob Stoops, Houston.
Don't overlook it.
Spent the better part of a decade in Norman. It's a place he knows well and one that he has familiarity with. A lot of the decision makers. So this is like the opposite of the hype will hire. This is just hire our buddy.
Correct.
While he doesn't fit, Norvell is a bit older than most of the candidates on the list and hasn't had to recruit elite talents for quite some time now. Up next, Brent Venables, Clemson, D.C. Seems like he's on every hot board every year at this
point.
And
never leaves.
He's 50. Been at Kansas State.
They did have the second best scoring defense in the country this year, by the way.
Even with that crappy offense. Venables is a guy that was well liked by most everyone during his time in Norman, and he's done nothing to cultivate any ill will about his somewhat unceremonious exit from Norman. He's been an elite recruiter his entire career and has helped Clemson to arguably the nation's most talented defense, even in 2021. He doesn't fit, though, because he's a guy that some wonder if he even wants to be a head coach. Would he rather simply enjoy very good paydays and remain a defensive coordinator? History says he just might. But if not, Oklahoma could make a lot of sense. There, your Oklahoma coaching hot board from Sooner Scoop. To the phone lines we go. We got Roberto up on the G3 Help Me Hotlines. What's up, Berto? You're on 3 and out. Congrats on the parlay.
Oh, thanks, guys. Made for a much easier Sunday when you want to throw $5 or $6 at a game, huh?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it, obviously. And that wasn't humble brags or anything. That was just genuine shock. I couldn't believe it. I threw that together like last minute because they threw a boost out, and I was like, I might as well try something here. I couldn't believe it. Anyways, thanks, guys. Appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
Can I give Josh Heupel an unsolicited piece of advice? Because he's one of the 37. You guys know that, right?
Of course he is.
Yeah. Don't do what Rick Barnes did. Don't do it.
Ooh.
I mean, I don't know if that's a sarcastic ooh or not.
No. I was thinking about this last night, actually.
Don't do that.
Pay him top $5 million to stay. Is that what we're going to do?
No,
here?
No. Let him
walk if that's the other option.
No. I'm saying let Roberto go where he's going.
All right,
Roberto. I like this topic.
Go for it, buddy.
So my thought is that simply this. Like, he has the fan base right now. He's the most. I won't say he's the most popular coach on campus because I think that is and will always be Tony
V.
Tello.
Yep.
But I will say this. He has the fan base in a position where they have not been in a while. Like, I'm not saying everyone because, you know, oh, he didn't win the SEC's title and it was down even though Georgia's the best team maybe in the history of college football. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But he has him right where he wants him. He can get paid. He's only 1 year in. Do the opposite of what Kiffin did, and he'll lock this fan base in forever.
Yep.
Say. I mean, I would if Oklahoma does come calling, and you know they've called. I don't. I would say no. I am 100% committed to the University of Tennessee. I started something here. I'm finishing it here. And you know he's going to get a raise, a good one, a healthy one, and he probably deserves one. Frankly, him. And Banks and Gardner all deserve a raise, all of them. And keep your staff together. Get rid of Cody Burns because everybody says he's going to SMU anyways. Replace him with an elite recruiter, you know, and do all those things. Keep this momentum going. Now, when Mama, it's what Charles Davis always says, right?
Yeah.
If Mama calls, I got to listen, right? He's gonna listen. But don't drag us through the mud of, well, and like have the plane trackers and all that crap where we know that we're getting ready to be a redheaded stepchild again. Because I just, if the worst thing is if they choose that they don't want him, Houston, and he comes back, people, it is going to turn on him so fast, like a snake on a mongoose or vice versa. I'm telling you, don't do that. You know, just say, no, I'm not interested, or I didn't even, lie to us. Or if you take our job or stay at our job, say, you know, I went down there, I interviewed, and it's just not as good a job as here. You say something like that, the people, they're putty at that point, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys agree with that?
I think if you're Josh Heupel, and who's his agent? I can't remember. It's not Sexton, because that was one of the reasons he got the job.
He's not a Sexton guy.
Right.
That is correct. I don't know.
It's tough, right? Because obviously, and I don't know, he might want to listen, but if he knows he's never going to take the job, then I think you've got to squash it as fast as possible. Like you said, Roberto, he needs to kind of play it out a little bit to see if he can get a raise out of it. That's just mm-hmm. business. But the best thing for him to do would be to shout from the mountaintop, like, no, I'm not leaving. I'm going nowhere. I'm here for a long time. My family likes it here. I want to get my staff taken care of. We've got a lot of work to do here. We made great progress. You know, VFL, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, and holy crap, guys. I do think that he's – I don't think that he intends to leave unless they make him an offer he can't refuse. Okay? Because I look at it, I mean, he's been out recruiting the last 2 days. In the last 2 days, Tennessee has been rumored to be in with a top 15-ish running back in the 2022 class, which has not been very favorable to us, and probably the number one running back transfer in the country, the Jahmyr Gibbs.
Yeah,
is that
from
right?
Georgia Tech.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. So, I mean, he's out recruiting, and they're doing their job. So, you know, it's not like he's just quit on us already. I do, you know, it really sucks, guys, because it feels like every single time as a fan, we're like, hey, maybe somebody's dream job comes open. I mean, Oklahoma has to be his dream job, right? Are we on the same page here on that?
In some ways, yes. I still just don't know about – I don't know enough about the dynamic between Josh Heupel, the Oklahoma leadership, especially Bob Stoops. You know, it's
and
a very –
he's going to be making this hire again, just like Lincoln Riley. You
well, if
you
that, if that? That's the case, then I don't think it'll be Heupel.
Yeah. Well, you know what Bob Stoops ought to do, and I swear I'm not kidding. Because, I mean, I really – but he's going to be the next AD, right? That's what everybody – that's
surely,
the consensus.
Surely, yeah.
He needs to hire himself for 2 years. So they stabilize and they can get who they want, because this bevy of coaches they have, Luke Fickell is the only name that you just dropped in the last 5 minutes that made me go, that would be a really good hire. Dave Aranda, maybe, but that'd be pretty much it. Norvell, you were saying he hasn't had to recruit. I heard you say that. Yeah, but he's got, did you watch them the other night? He's got one of the best quarterbacks in the country. Holy crap. That guy. Whew. And, you know, I don't think it'd be a good hire, but nonetheless, I don't know why we're talking Oklahoma. I'm really proud of Tennessee. I'm really proud of what Josh and the boys accomplished this year. I do believe that Hendon Hooker's coming back. I do believe if Hendon Hooker comes back, so will Cedric Tillman. I believe Tennessee is going to be pretty damn good for the next 4 or 5 years, as long as we keep this staff and keep the ball rolling with the guys that they can come back, coming back, and get this Gibbs kid. Have you seen, that kid is so dynamic. He is Alvin Kamara reborn. Guys, have a great day.
Thanks for the call, Berto.
Reborn. Jeez.
Yeah, we'll jump back into it on the flip side. Stick with us. More Hour 2 next. Hour 2 rolls on from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios Fan Run Radio. Pick you up some White Claw this week. Hope you had a great holiday weekend. It's White Claw Hard Seltzer. 5% alcohol by volume. Only 1 gram of sugar. Delicious. White Claw Hard Seltzer made pure. Let's go back to the G3 Help Me Hotline. We've got DR Vol up next. What's up, DR? You're on 3 and Out.
What's going on, guys? You have to forgive me. I'm a little under the weather if my voice breaks up. But, Nate, I've got a grievance with you.
Oh, no. What's up?
You've led a sheep astray. I put money on that Ohio State-Michigan game and lost my butt.
I said this is a sucker bet. I told and you I, right there in the message. I said, this feels like a sucker bet.
Well, Nate, let me tell you something. I bet on Alabama once this year, mm-hmm. and they lost to A&M. So I am the king sucker, I guess you could say,
man.
When it comes to that.
The well, cooler.
If it makes you feel better, I think I lost probably the same amount of money you did, DR.
Yeah,
when it went to 6.5, I was in just nice and easy, just a little sprinkle – at like 7, at like bought a half point from 7.5 to 7, and all of a sudden he goes to 6.5, and like an idiot.
Yeah, you got. I didn't put near as much as the Florida game last year, but still, my God, I was sick. Especially when I saw the score, I said, they'll come back. It's Ohio State. And then I remembered I bet on the game and said, there's not a chance in hell.
I felt okay at halftime. It was 14-13. I was like, all right, this is Ohio State. They just need to keep throwing the football. Quit trying to win this game at the line of scrimmage, and they didn't. They kept trying to run the ball, and their defense didn't show up in the second half at all.
Happy for Michigan fans, I guess, though.
Had to feel good.
Guys, yeah, it has to. I really love to know what that's like before I die with Alabama.
Can't wait for Iowa to beat them this week.
You know, that kind of leads me to my next point. Littlefinger once said, chaos isn't a pit, it's a ladder. Mm. And, you know, a lot of people, I'm not saying this is going to happen, but I am very wary of what happened in 2009. I remember where I was at, what I was wearing the night that announced that Kiffin was leaving. And a lot of people just saying 100% he's not leaving. I think they're forgetting what happened back then. I know a chain of events had to happen, but
a big chain.
When it comes to coaching search season, we're getting involved.
Well, we did have a 3-week run of, hey, we're not in this bad boy whatsoever. And now we are a fearful lot.
Mm-hmm. Houston last night trending on my Twitter was Knoxville, Lane Kiffin, and Josh Heupel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How are they handling it on Facebook, Davey?
Yeah, you know, it's some people are in there trolling, and that's getting the other ones upset. And
by some people, do you mean I, Davey?
What?
Are you upset? No, are you trolling?
No.
Are you lying?
No, I'm not. I told people I was going to lay low whenever it came to posting there, but I have been snooping around, just kind of getting the general reaction.
Mm-hmm. He's a lurker.
I mean, eventually I'll pounce, but right now we're hanging on.
Guys, does it seem to y'all with the LSU job, it's looking like the last time they were in a coaching search and they just had to give it to Coach O?
Yeah, I mean, we know that there's a lot of stuff behind the scenes at LSU. It might be a lot worse than we think.
Seems like it to me.
I mean, it feels like if they were on stable footing, that's a job people are lining up to try and get. But, you know, you have to think they called Napier, right? I mean, he's in state. He's right, you know.
Yeah.
That would make sense. He said, no, I'm out, going to Florida.
Apparently, though, it's like the little brother complex where the people at LSU kind of look down on Lafayette.
He's still one of the top regarded coaches. But because he's there, they're like, oh, no.
I think a lot of people,
he's not good enough for us.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand the mindset from the fan base, but if you're LSU today, are you thinking, if he was good enough for Florida, I mean, time will tell, but –
I mean, imagine MTSU being very good and then, like, Tennessee thinking, oh, yeah, we're going to go hire the MTSU coach.
You mean like all the people that wanted James Franklin? Because they did.
No, that's different. That's different. He was at Vanderbilt. That's an SEC program.
I was still saying little brother. But, and he beat you a couple times.
I don't view that the same way because, like, Lafayette and, like, it's just different conferences. You don't really... I don't think Lafayette ever beat Louisiana.
Weren't people interested in Fuente when he was at Memphis? Norvell a little bit before he went to FSU?
That was a conversation piece.
Weren't people who were, oh, they're beneath us. We could never do that. But the fact is, if they're a good enough coach, you know, who cares?
Well, guys, as I adjust my clown nose from betting and my cup from a coaching search, I do wish y'all a happy Monday and just tell everybody to chill out. Don't jinx it. Because 09 will live in infamy for me. Y'all have a good day.
And that's what I said. I'm not terrified, but to say that there's no chance whatsoever, yeah, you can say that, and you might be right. But to say there's no chance, especially given the circumstances. I mean, USC fell to like 9th or 10th on their board and got Lane Kiffin. I don't think Heupel's at 9 or 10 for Oklahoma. Now, there are some extenuating circumstances there that we do not know the depth of regarding Stoops, the leadership, and Josh Heupel. But if that truly is a job that Heupel kind of covets in the back of his mind, you know, he may listen. They may never call him, but he may listen. Hmm. That's why I thought Roberto's question was interesting. I was thinking about that last night if I'm Josh Heupel, because my Tennessee brain's saying, like, oh, well, if I was Tennessee's coach, I wouldn't hang them over the edge of the cliff trying to get an extra million a year. But it's, you know, it's Josh Heupel, it's his family, it's his agent, it's his coaching. You know, you got to play it kind of smart. You got to try to get a little something out of it. But to Roberto's point, and this is what I was thinking, it would be very, very cool. It'd be a great move for Heupel if sooner rather than later, you know, he came out and said, I've been here a year. There's no place else I'd rather be. We are building something special. Our players are bought in. Recruiting is picking up. People see what we're doing and they like it. Why would I go anywhere else? I'm already in the SEC. I don't need to go somewhere where I have to wait a year or two or three. I'm already here. Mm-hmm. I've already got the prime time job. Because Barnes didn't say that. Kiffin didn't say that. And I agree with Roberto. I think that's what Tennessee fans want to hear. They want to hear a coach get up there and say, I'm not leaving. I have the best job in the country, whether they believe it or not, right? But you just right. You say that, it endears you to the fan base, and call me crazy, but that buys you time. It gets you buy-in on the front end, and people remember that kind of stuff in the back of their head. Remember the year Butch Jones was all the Michigan rumors, and he was apparently walking around the complex saying, I'm going to Michigan, and this is why. You didn't pick up that piece of trash. That's why I'm going to He was never going to Michigan. He never had an offer. Mm-hmm. But, like, you know, he was trying to use this for the next, you know, big raise and extension. And I'm not saying, again, it'd be stupid for Heupel to come out today and say, I don't need anything. No raises, no extensions for me, for my staff. We're happy right where we are. You know, you can't do that. You got to take care of your people. But, boy, if, again, sooner rather than later, he were to kind of plant the flag, I think that'd be a pretty good move for him.
Mm-hmm.
And it'd make me feel a lot better.
Yeah, I understand why Tennessee fans would have the cup on.
It makes perfect sense. Like, I'm some people are, you know, flat out terrified, and I don't blame them a bit. I don't. I've just realized that Tennessee, anything and everything is possible. And if we go through a coaching search again, you know, we'll handle it. We got Danny White. We'll have $8 million in the bank.
There you go.
You know, do feel bad for all those Oklahoma players, though, to lose their coach like that.
Sad.
I wonder if they'll – I'm not wrong, right? Like, Wanye, Eric Gray, Key.
Yeah.
They can't one-time transfer. Like, they have to sit out a year if they go anywhere else, right?
I think so, yeah.
Man, you hate that.
It appears as of this morning there is a white blanket with Traitor – painted in red on top of one of the signs outside of the athletic department, one of the complexes there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes it's good to be humbled.
Roberto has asked that I stop saying sooner rather than later. I will do that. In the nearest of futures, Josh, please. Quickly.
We'll come back with more soon after this break.
Okay.
Hour two rolls on live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios, Fan Run Radio. Appreciate you listening. So catch up from the weekend, a wild one it was, but not with Tennessee football and basketball. Well, basketball for a little bit.
Bad first half.
Yeah, really bad. But, you know, that's why you play these games. Work out the kinks.
Right.
Figure out what, you know, rotations you want to have and who plays well with whom and all that good stuff.
Apologies for the sooner rather than later. Several people were
noticing. A little triggered.
Just noticed it. Won't go as far to say triggered.
Okay.
So, you know, if he does stay, some Oklahoma guys might be in the portal. Some can't be.
So our team from last year could come back?
No, those are the ones that can't because they've already wasted the one-time transfer. Yeah, and I'm not saying take that, but that does – I don't want to say it stinks for them. It's karma
mm-hmm.
to get that and be dunked on by Lincoln Riley. The way, man, that's a bad one, right?
Yep.
Like, if a Tennessee coach had taken us to the playoff that many times and then said, I'm not going to be the next coach at Oklahoma, and then left for Penn State, it's like, oh, mm-hmm. you got us. It'd be brutal. David Cutcliffe will not return to Duke next year after an 0-8 season in the ACC. I don't know if he's done, but boy, that'd be a pretty good offensive analyst to get on the staff.
Yeah.
Look, no offense to Housley, but maybe quarterback's coach. Get Arch Manning in the fold. Put up big numbers. The Mannings love Cutcliffe.
Whatever it takes.
I would certainly kick the tires. Let's see here. No movement on Virginia Tech. LSU appears to be swinging and missing.
We haven't talked about Billy Napier to Florida.
I was getting there.
Okay. Sorry.
He's been a hot name for several years. It sounds like he's been kind of waiting on the perfect scenario for him. He decides to take the Florida job. I don't know. I mean, could be really good. Could be okay. Could be a train wreck. I really have no idea. Seems like a pretty good recruiter, which you expect that at Florida. Surprised Mullen had as much trouble as he did. You probably literally have to not try at all to be as bad as Mullen was. I mean, the guy left and they got to commit. Like, I mean, that's
right.
Some schools just kind of do recruit themselves when things are halfway decent. I did see. I'll have to find the exact stat, but he has a really good record in close games, like 15-3 or 15-2.
Napier does?
Yeah, but he's 15-2 maybe in one score games, but he was a double digit favorite in 12 of those games.
Yeah.
So apparently, while he's at Louisiana, because of his recruiting, he could kind of out talent everybody. And won a lot of close games, but he also won a lot of close games against teams
been in them.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I'll dig deeper into Billy Napier this week. I had planned to do that some yesterday, but honestly, the whole Lincoln Riley thing got me distracted.
Right, right.
Due to obvious reasons. Mm-hmm. You mentioned, I feel like we talked about Billy Napier a lot last year, and it never felt like, I know he was maybe a target, but it never felt like he was really in the mix for us.
Yeah. Well, they say he just told us he wasn't interested.
Really?
That's what they say.
That's good.
I don't know.
I hate him already. That's good.
Yeah.
You got anything on Napier? Does that – where are we at on the fear factor meter here? Is that a 10 out of 10? Oh, my God. Like, they just rehired Urban Meyer, or is that a –
I feel like it's a good hire. There's not a lot of.
I think he has this may sound weird. In my head, lower ceiling than Dan Mullen, but a much higher floor. Does that sound fair?
A lower ceiling than Dan Mullen?
Yeah. I mean, I thought Dan Mullen with his offense could eventually, you know, in the right scenario, could get them a national championship. I don't know that I view Billy Napier as a national championship coach. And I could be an idiot.
I would go higher ceiling and lower floor.
Okay. And lower floor?
Yeah.
Like, he could be a bigger flameout than...
Well, it's hard now, but I mean, like, if Dan Mullen didn't just kind of quit, you know, I mean, he... Like, I say lower floor for Billy Napier because I feel like when Mullen's at least trying, like, you know, it's not going to be embarrassing. I mean, although I guess it was there late. I mean, that team's not that bad. They're just completely dysfunctional at the moment.
Right, right. And they say he's a very stable coach. He'll get in there and take care of those issues. And
I think it could be a really good hire. It's just not going to be a dynamic hire at this point. But maybe, I mean – It feels like Billy Napier waited, tried to go to where what he thought was going to be a stable situation. Dan Mullen is, I think, the reason Florida was unstable. And Dan Mullen was so unstable, Billy Napier will probably get more leash than any Florida coach since, fill in the blank with whatever you want.
Yeah.
I mean, I agree with that. I think Billy Napier is going to get a pretty long leash here. And For Florida standards, for sure. And I think he probably feels pretty good about Scott Strickland. I mean, he's a pretty established, like, he's not going anywhere. That's why I think Billy Napier in Florida is a good fit.
He will be detailed. He'll write everything down in the notebook. We know that.
He's been at Clemson, he's been at Alabama, and he's been a head coach. So he just on paper looks really solid.
Solid.
How good he'll be, who knows?
Right.
I think that's the big question.
I forget. Apparently, his defensive coordinator is like a pretty coveted guy.
Okay.
Who may have a lot of other opportunities. I'll be interested to see if he can bring him along. But I mean,
apparently,
on paper, it's a really good hire. Again, they all. I don't want to say they all are. Many hires are very good on paper. Does it pan out?
Yeah. Apparently, Lincoln Riley's taken like a lot of the Oklahoma assistants.
Oh,
of course. But
I think Alex Grinch was quoted as saying it's most likely that he will take the job at Southern Cal. Is he a West Coast guy? I know he was at Washington State, but is he a left coast guy, Dave? I know Grinch is your boy.
I thought he was Midwestern, like Oklahoma or Ohio State, but I thought he was. I'll look that up.
Let's see here. The CBS Oklahoma hot board is up.
Yeah, he's from Grove City, Ohio.
An Ohio guy? All right. Oh. You want to guess the first name up on CBS's Oklahoma coaching hot board? Not all at once, please.
Josh Heupel.
Josh Heupel. Thank you, Adam.
Wow.
You ready for this? Knoxville would melt down if Heupel pulled Lane Kiffin and left after one season, but Heupel is still beloved in Norman, having quarterbacked the last Oklahoma National Championship team in 2000. He cut his coaching teeth as the Sooners offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach, helping to develop Heisman Trophy winner Sam Bradford. However, Heupel was eventually fired by Bob Stoops in 2014 and replaced by Riley. There is believed to be some bad blood stemming from that move, and given Stoops is serving as interim coach, that could be a hiccup. That firing set Heupel on his course to UCF, where he succeeded before eventually making it to the SEC and suddenly becoming a hot commodity again. The Vols went 4-4 in SEC play this year, but all of their losses were to teams ranked at the time of kickoff. Then some of the familiar names: Brent Venables, Mario Cristobal, Dave Aranda, Mark Stoops, Luke Fickell, Matt Campbell, Lane Kiffin, Cliff Kingsbury, because Adam Schefter got paid by an agent in information to tweet out that Oklahoma's going to make a run at the Cardinals head coach. Whatever. What do you think about the Mark Stoops talk? Kentucky fans are losing their minds, and that's why I want it to happen, because I don't think it would be a very good move for Oklahoma.
Right.
It would be hilarious to watch Kentucky fans squirm over who they're going to get. But if you're Mark Stoops, like, you take that, right? Without question? Or do you think, wait a minute, 9-3 here and I get a statue built for me, 9-3 in Oklahoma in three seasons, they're kicking me out the door. Or I could get better players there, so maybe it would work. I don't know. I think I'd take it, because I feel like if you failed at Oklahoma, you could just fall back to Kentucky again. They'd probably take you back with open arms after whatever they would go through.
Are we surprised that the next big thing in coaching, being Greg Schiano, was not on that list?
Well, they failed to make a bowl game after getting slaughtered by Maryland over the weekend.
Yikes.
It was tragedy.
But those guys think he's such a good coach, though. It's kind of shocking that he's not on
that
list.
It is wild. Wild, he's not getting more looks. Let's see. That was CBS, 24/7 Sports, OU Insider. This list does not feature Josh Heupel.
Okay. All right. Now we're talking.
Obviously, they make fun of Lincoln Riley a little bit. Cliff Kingsbury.
Okay.
Why?
Like, this makes no sense.
Guy's 9-2 in the NFL. He's making $5.5 million. He's got the easiest job in the world.
It would make more sense if he was 2-9.
Right.
To be like, yeah. He would have had to have been better in college, too, for that to be a thing.
Jeff Lebby. Venables. Shane Beamer.
Okay.
He only makes 2.75.
Stream job took a discount. I don't know.
Mike McDaniel.
Never heard of him.
He is the 49ers offensive coordinator.
Okay.
That's Shanahan's offense? I mean,
yeah.
A Yale grad and a sleeper for the position.
Ooh, sleeper.
An Oklahoma program source told OU Insider. Mark Stoops. Please. He's the only member of the Stoops fraternity that has not coached in Norman.
Yeah.
Make it happen.
Well, they already fired Mike Stoops, so we'll come back.
Joe Brady's on the list.
Ooh, see, now we're swinging. Talking. We need to get out into the weeds. That's That'll make it be more fun. Final segment, hour number two. We recap the long Thanksgiving weekend. You know, it's kind of sad. Saturday ended. It's the last day of, you know, a full slate of college football. Usually I kind of burn out a little bit, but maybe Tennessee's, you know, having a year that was a little better than expectations. Maybe that's what held me through.
Nailed my expectations.
Perfectly.
Well, they didn't get there the way I thought they'd get there, but I'll take the way they got there. I had them beating Pitt and splitting Missouri and Kentucky. I'd rather beat all of them, but I'd rather beat Missouri and Kentucky for sure.
Pitt's in the championship game of the ACC.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. It's not really you don't really have a bad loss on the season. I mean, the Florida one is weird, but there is an element of timing and matchups in college football every year where you have some games like that. And, you know, took care of business Saturday against Vanderbilt. I know people were complaining a little bit early. They didn't cover the first quarter, the first half, or the game spread, but still, you know.
I didn't touch the game, and I'm very glad.
That was annoying.
It just felt like, I don't know.
I thought I was the smartest guy in the room, Chris, because, you know, Davey's always on the first quarter. Billy and I debated taking first quarter or not.
Yeah, Hyper should kick the damn field goal.
Game came up. Game, you know, got close to kickoff, and I looked at the lines. I was like, I don't trust the first quarter in this one, you know. I'm going to go first half, 18.5. I feel like we'll
be
up
20. And then the pick six happened, and you were thinking, don't. But then it worked out.
No, it didn't.
What? You didn't take it, I thought.
No, I took the first half line.
First half.
First half. 18.5.
That's what I was saying, though.
Do you remember the end of the half, Houston?
No, listen. You were talking first quarter, and I said you didn't take it.
Yeah.
And you were thinking good, and then the pick six happened.
Oh, and I thought, yeah.
And you were like, oh baby.
Maybe got this.
Dang it. Yeah. And then, you know.
But no, as Davey mentioned, you got stopped on fourth down. That ruined the first half cover. First quarter cover.
See, you're getting confused.
It's because you threw it.
You, not me.
And then I actually saw the half end, Houston.
Mm-hmm.
I saw the half end. But then it didn't. Even the score bug on the ESPN thing said, halftime with Tennessee not only leading, but covering.
Yep.
They were up. It was 24-0.
They were.
It's at halftime. What happened? I walk back in. Vandy's running untimed down.
Well, they put 1 second up there, I thought.
No, did they? Is that what it was?
I think so, yeah.
I thought it was a penalty. Was it not a penalty?
I thought I saw 1 second on the clock.
So they added 1 second back?
I think so.
I wasn't really paying attention.
I really wasn't. I saw halftime. I walked into the kitchen. I didn't hear what happened, but I heard, and they're back out, you know. And I walked back in just in time to see the Vanderbilt quarterback taking the snap, dropping back to pass, and I knew right then. I knew as soon as he let the ball go, I went, "Yep, gonna catch this. Gonna ruin the first half spread." And boom, there it is.
A 56. I didn't even think he'd have the muscle to get it there.
He let that thing go, and I was like, "Touchdown!"
And it was.
It was
24-7.
Mm-hmm. Blew it. And of course, the line for the game was like 31 or something. So I didn't
cover
that.
Yeah, that wasn't. Yeah.
But anyway,
sorry, buddy.
Yeah, it was rough.
Probably would have covered if you didn't have that.
Mm-hmm. All things.
I think
stay
the flow
the
of the game. Yeah.
45-21, your final. Tennessee got the win. A ho-hum easy day for Hendon Hooker. 10 of 18, 156, two touchdowns.
He didn't look like he had his good stuff, but it was good enough, I suppose.
He had some good runs. I really liked the way he ran the ball a few times, especially. He had 75 yards on the ground. And the team ran the ball like, you know, just it was easy. It was a hot knife through butter. Jalen Wright, 15 carries, 117, 7.5 yards a carry, a touchdown. Jabari Small, 15 carries, 103, 6.9 yards a carry.
What do you have Jalen Wright at?
15 for 112.
112, yeah. You said 117. I was confused. But yeah, 112.
I don't know where that came from.
Almost had three over 100. Hooker needed one more big run.
Cedric Tillman, another game over 100 yards receiving. He's had a monster year.
Yeah, did you hear Heupel doing the old recruiting pitch?
Mm.
Like, oh, he's had a really good year. He could come back and dominate next year.
Yeah.
Feed
the bull, led the team in tackles.
It's my MVP pick.
How about that?
For the defense.
Mm-hmm.
Did he finish with over 100? Had to, right? He has to be over 100 for the season now.
Surely.
Yeah, I feel like he was at 89.
Oh, yeah. He has 108. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, very successful first season, I think. Would have loved to have stolen one against Ole Miss and or Pitt, but all things considered, in those two games, you got a couple of really bad calls that, you know, took points off the board, most likely. So I'm not going to hold it against him too much. But solid.
Yeah. I mean, he didn't.
It was a take care of business type of year.
It's pretty good. Set you up for some really good things, especially with the way you're able to score points.
Mm-hmm.
That did come to fruition. That's what we had all hoped for in recruiting. Score a bunch of points. And let's restock the cupboard.
We are exciting.
With some guys. And the defense, I think, played even a little better than anyone expected, which is great news moving forward. We'll come back, kick off hour 3 of the program next.